കർമ്മം ഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധരതവാർണവാന്. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യായം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേമധീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്വയാദുദരദാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദാ യ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരേ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുഃ കുണിതാതൃദനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിന്ന കണികാപി കാപികാപി. നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖ കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോമമാം. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. സോ we continue today from last week where we were discussing about Jadabharata and his second birth as a deer. The first birth was the Emperor Bhairava. The second one was the birth as of the birth as the deer, which he got that body from the river in Gandaki, and he left that body in that Gandaki river again. And then his third birth he took again, as where he was referred to as Jadavarada, because of his special attitude towards others, that he acted in such a way that he gave impression to everybody that he is deaf and dumb. In other words, everyone started calling him as Jadavarada because of his as they suspected that he has this disability of not able to speak, or he was not able to hear either. So that way, that's how this name Jadavarada came to him. But the stories from now on will show that who is actually Jada. Is it Bharata who is Jada, or we are the ones who are actually the Jadas? That is what the story is taking us to. And that's why it makes it more interesting to understand that in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled Bhagavatam, and when Sudeva Goswami or Sri Shukan spoke this to Parikshit Maharaj in the while he was leaving this body, he's trying to make us realize that in human form of life, we have only one and one business alone, and that is to perfect our Krishna consciousness. Because there is nothing which is more valuable than Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness is the ultimate solution to this cycle of birth and death. As I said many times before, that the whole Vedic culture is based on two principles. You will see through in all books, whether it is impersonalist or personalist, it doesn't matter. Whichever line of philosophy you follow, the Vedic tradition has two very strong roots, grounded on two principles. One is the law of karma, and the other one is the law of rebirth, changing the body. These two things, which doesn't exist in any other form, in any other principal religions or religious processes today. And Vedic system is such that karma is the one that controls our life in this world to such a degree. And escaping from this cycle of rebirth or changing this body is the goal of life. That is very clear definitions mentioned, whether we belong to the impersonalist or you belong to the personalist category. It doesn't matter. So similarly here, the more and more people tend to accept these days that this theory of karma and theory of incarnation, as they call it, is punarjanmam. In the Shastra it is referred to as punarjanmam, the law of rebirth, is looking more and more acceptable today in this world, as they understand the thoughts behind it and the principle behind it. Because as soon as one accepts that we are eternal, we are not temporary living, temporary matter, we finish with this body. But once we accept our spiritual identity as spirit soul, one has to accept these two things. One cannot escape from that. And the more people have a peaceful existence in this world, when the life is peaceful, the thoughtful people will automatically accept this theory that there is a higher authority controlling our life in this world. It is not completely in our own hands. And according to that law, which is in other words the law of karma, we are all forced to act one way or the other. But whatever it is, that is the subtle side of the Vedic philosophy. But coming back to this story again, Jadavarada had his third birth as the son of this Brahmana in the Angirasa Gotram, Angiras Maharshi's lineage, and he took that birth as the son of the second wife, where eventually he had to, where their parents gave up their body because of the unhappiness they experienced in seeing this situation of Jadavarada. But Jadavarada was very determined that I will not speak one word, because if I speak, I will get entangled. If I smile, I'll be in trouble. I don't want any more of this thing to happen. I had already had suffered out of this. I had to get a dear body because of this, because I felt compassion in my life and I felt the desire to serve somebody. The result was that I had to accept the dear body later on. So he has learned a very, very powerful lesson from this, and therefore he has been careful. Now it is in this situation that later on in the Jadavarada's body he had to experience almost close to the death in front of Bhadragali, and Kali protected him and avoided the calamity otherwise would have happened in the hands of the pujari. So after this incident was over, that's where we stopped last Sunday. After this incident was over, they left him alone. He was not at all bothered. He didn't speak one word to Bhadragali also. Earlier we saw he didn't speak one word to his father or mother. Now he didn't speak one word to Bhadragali either. After she was there under instructions from Krishna that the devotee is protected. And for that she has done everything she could and made sure that he was protected, and eventually she started asking him, is there anything I can do to please you? And she kept insisting and repeating this question to Jaravarda. Jaravarda wouldn't speak one word. But now you will see in the next episode, in the same life, Jaravarda started speaking. When he was sitting in this paddy fields where he was posted to look after the crops. He was sitting there in a small hut where he was asked to sit. He was sitting there. It was at that time there was one king by name Rahugana came that way. Rahugana was the king of a small province called Sindhu and Sauviram. They are the provinces which are probably in Pakistan today. That area from there. And he was on his way to Kapilashrama where Kapilamuni lived. So which is quite far distance. The reason for going to see Kapilamuni was, this king Rahugana had a very interesting personality in the sense that he has studied all the books very nicely. He has studied all the scriptures and he has acquired a lot of knowledge from the books. By his own effort and through being a king, he was very much interested in spiritual life. And he wanted also to understand the spiritual life in its pure form. So he spent a lot of energy in studying the books, particularly Vedanta Sutra and all the other related books related to spiritual life. He had a good sound knowledge about it. Although he has acquired all this knowledge, he felt still the need for a personality, a spiritual master to guide him. So at that particular time, Kapilamuni was in his ashram and everyone was very much accepted Kapilamuni's position. Not only he was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we see in the third canto, by his dint of ability to take the disciples out of this material life, material existence, and give them that strong realizations that's required, he was very happy to go to Kapilashram and see this sage Kapilamuni there. So he was on his way. And how did he travel? He was traveling, four people were carrying him in a palanquin. Palanquin, I don't know, everybody can understand normally, I think. Palanquin is just a transport system where two people in the front, two people at the back, they carry this person in a nice way so that he feels less discomfort. That was the system of traveling by the kings who didn't want to travel by horses, and this was the next mode of transport available those days. These things have disappeared now. You can't find them anymore anywhere. They don't exist. So this palanquin was carried by four people, and they were carrying Rahugana along this route where our Jadabharata was sitting and watching the crops. So when he came that way, Jadabharata was not concerned who was coming, who was going. But Rahugana's four carriers, they had a little problem. They realized that it's a long distance to get to Kapilashram, where Kapilamuni lived. So perhaps it may not be a bad thing to get one extra person, so that in case somebody gets tired of carrying this on the shoulder, at least we could ask someone else to take over. And like that, in rotation, they thought they could take him further. So Rahugana, they spoke to Rahugana, and Rahugana said he has no objection to get somebody. So on the way, they were looking for someone, and it is by chance that when they got here, they saw our Jadabharata sitting there, comfortably situated, and not doing anything. Immediately they requested Rahugana if they could stop for a while to go and request him to come and help. After all, Rahugana was the king, so he had the authority to do that. So they went up to him and told Janavarada, what's the matter, what are you doing here? They looked at him and they found his body particularly very attractive, long arms, powerful body, and well built, and looked very happy in the face, and all through that brahminical effulgence in the face, and the realization is what he was carrying. What do the carriers understand about realization? So they saw him and they started admiring his beauty, and at the same time they realized that this is the right person for the job, because to carry this on the shoulder for a long distance you need some strength. So they found him, he's the right candidate for the job. They decided on the spot and they told him, come along with us. And he wouldn't speak one word. So when he didn't speak, they thought that he is deaf and dumb, so it's better as well. They went and held his hand and told him, come along with us, they said. So he went along with them straight away. He joined them. So he came there and they put one shoulder, or one corner of this palanquin on his shoulders. And they started walking. After they started walking for a short distance, immediately the king started feeling uneasiness in the palanquin. He was feeling the uneasiness inside. So he started asking, what's happening? He got upset about it and he said, what's going on? He said to the other people. Vishamagadayam, Sushubhigayam, that is how in the Bhagavatam it says, that he was feeling the disturbance inside. And he complained about that to the carriers. Carriers said to him that it is not our fault. Actually, we have got another new recruit here. And this personality is not cooperating with us. He looks that he is doing all sorts of things while walking. And when all the three of us are trying to make it as quickly as possible, he has a lot of questions and problems before that. So what was he doing? What he was doing was Ishumatravalogena, that every time when he wants to put his foot down, he will look there on the ground. Ishumatravalogena means almost, you can say roughly it's a 2 meter distance. Almost the distance what when you are ploughing in the field with the plow and the bulls, when you are ploughing, that much distance what you can see. That's what is referred to. Ishumatravalogena, that's about 2 meters, you can say, that he will look before he put his feet down. Now, the other three were running faster, as quickly as possible, to get the king to the destination. Whereas our Janabharata was concerned that if he put his feet down, is there any other living entity under his feet? That is how much he was concerned about another living entity. He couldn't help it, because after all, he is in a realized state. He is not like in our consciousness. For us, to butcher and slaughter, no problem. It doesn't take much time to think. If it is millions, we can finish it up. And we'll develop the technology also for that. But for him, it's a different story. He is a realized soul. And that means presence of Supreme Personality of Godhead is in every living entity, is known to him. And not only that, he is aware, as much as freedom we have got to live in this world, they also have the same freedom to live. After all, they are the part and parcel of Krishna. Mama ivamsho jiva loge jiva bhuta sanadana. That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, that we, as much as they are, the other living entities also, other species also, are part and parcel of Krishna. If we ignore that and if we start acting in our own vicious ways, then accordingly we have to accept the punishment also. We can't escape from that. Krishna's laws are beyond our, beyond, it cannot be changed. It is Krishna's established laws. And a realized personality like Janabharata could not stay away from that. He couldn't disobey from such things. So every step he was making, he was looking at the ground if there is any other living entity. What I've heard in some instances, they are saying that sometimes some of these ants which go very fast, they'll come underneath his feet. Immediately he'll take his feet and come back, follow back. So you can imagine what was happening to the palanquin with all these things. So this great king who was sitting inside the palanquin, he got upset about it. He opened his window and looked down and he started asking them what is going on. So the other three complained to the king that this new person who has joined us now doesn't seem to help the situation. He is doing what he likes, and unless you tell him about it, he is not going to listen, because we already told him so many times, they said to him. So Ravana opened his eyes and looked at him and said to him and started chastising him. And that in a very sarcastic manner. He told him that by looking at you, look, you are very slim and you don't seem to have much strength to carry this. And it's better that you start doing things the right way. And you know who I am? I am the king, Rahugana. And these people, they are trying to take me to a place where I need to be there as soon as possible. Kapilamuni has to be visited, this, that and the other, he said. Didn't speak one word straight away. Didn't speak one word after that. So they started, closed the window and he was lying down again and they were carrying further. Hardly a few minutes have gone, the same situation again. The same problem developed. He couldn't walk. He was putting his feet and every time was taking it back. Seeing some living entity on the ground, either it's an insect or a fly or an ant, whatever it is, he put his feet back. So when this thing happened, Rahugana told them to stop the palanquin. He came out from that. And he started telling him, do you understand who I am? He said to Jadavarada. Jadavarada didn't say anything. Then he said to him, I have got the authority to deal with you properly. For this kind of people who do not listen, because kings are not like our prime ministers of these days. They don't have to go for vote of confidence or anything. They can impose what they want. And that was the rule of law then. And so immediately his reaction was very aggressive and he told Jalabharata that I am the king and I know what I have to do for people who cannot take my instructions seriously. And he started talking in a very critical way and told him that I will deal with you in the proper way. So when he said that, Jadavarada thought for a moment, should I talk to him now? That is the most interesting thing here, because earlier his father was trying to make him to learn how to chant the Gayatri Mantra for 6 months. He tried to teach him just to chant 24 letters in one mantra, Gayatri Mantra for the Brahmanas, which is essential to chant this. And he was trying to train him to chant this. He wouldn't open his mouth. He wouldn't chant, not only won't chant. If I chant, something will happen, because then it will develop into a relationship, which I don't want. I got this body because I made this mistake before. His mother tried very hard, please smile at least once. Any mother will like to have the son to smile at least once in lifetime. After all, that is the whole happiness of the mother's life. So the mother is trying very hard to telling Jayavarada that at least smile once. And she tried everything she could to make him smile. He wouldn't smile. Why? Because he realized they were thinking that he was deaf and dumb. But deaf and dumb people can also smile. Not that. But he said, not only I'm deaf and dumb, if I smile once, that's enough for me. I'll be caught up. Once I smile, that's enough. Then the relationship starts building up from there. So I don't want that, because it is this relationship that has caused all these problems. So he didn't speak to them. Now, with Bhadravali, when he went to the temple, he wouldn't speak to her either. She was also trying very hard to asking him if she could do anything for him. And he wouldn't speak one word. And now, the king Rahugana, when he has spoken all these things to him, he thought for a second, should I open my mouth and start talking? The reason for that is that in his eyes, the parents were totally ignorant. There is no point in talking to them anything. They cannot understand anything. Because, in other words, they are known as ajnanis, no knowledge at all. Not only that, they had lived a life of householder life, plus engaged in karmakanda and everything. They have not understood anything from the Vedic philosophy, what one has to eventually understand. So there was no knowledge, completely ignorant. As far as spiritual life is concerned, they were on a totally ignorant platform. So there is no point in talking to them. So he left them there. He didn't want to talk to them anything. As far as Bhadragali is concerned, his understanding was, after all, what should I talk to her? Who is she? She is, in other words, in the Shastra referred to as Sachidananda Surubini. That means her form is eternity, full of bliss and full of knowledge. And to that personality, what should I speak? If I speak something, it will be all stupid thing compared to her realizations and knowledge. She is, after all, Krishna's direct representative in the material world as material energy personified. There's nothing I can talk to her. Because if I say anything, it may be only not any meaningless thing I may say to her. It's only up to her to instruct me and guide me. That was his attitude towards Bhadragali. So she didn't speak anything to her either. But to this king, he understood the situation. King was a learned person. King has learned all the books. He has learned all the books, Shastra, very nicely. He has taken effort to understand the philosophy or the thinking behind the Vedic way of life. And he had good knowledge. But what was lacking in him was, he had no realization. There was no realization in him. He has studied all the books and he has understood things. But it has not been realized. In other words, what he was seeing there was a person who has spent a lot of time, in his studies, but at the same time he hasn't got any realization from that. So, in other words, Rahugana was very much on a bodily concept of life. Sometimes you can see that people study a lot of things, but they have not come out of that bodily concept of life. Bodily concept of life was very strong in him still, even at that point. So perhaps talking to him a few words may help the situation. This is how Janabharata thought at that moment. If I talk to him a few words, it won't be a waste of time. Because of that, Janabharata decided to speak. Up to this point, he didn't want to speak to his father and mother because they were totally ignorant. He didn't want to speak to Bhadragali because there is no question of speaking to Bhadragali or giving any knowledge to her. She is the knowledge personified herself, so there is no question of that. But here is a personality, Rahugana, who is neither here nor there. He has studied things, he is intelligent, and he has a strong desire also for spiritual life. But at the same time, all that knowledge what he has, it has not manifested in his consciousness. In other words, he has no realization. This was his situation. So it is in this background that Janabharata decided to speak to Rahugana at that point. So he immediately answered the king. After a thoughtful analysis, he told the king like this. He said to the king that you are telling me that you are a king and I am your subject. But I can't see the king anywhere in your body. Where is it written that you are the king? He said, all I can see is that you have a body similar to mine. You have got arms, legs, hands, everything exactly like me. And I know that your body and my body is made of these five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. So the five material elements I am seeing in your body, I am seeing in my body as well. There is no difference between the two bodies are concerned. Then you are telling me that you are going to teach me a lesson. I don't know what lesson you are going to teach me, because I don't think I have anything to learn in this world, any new lessons. Because whatever I have to learn, I have learned enough. And if you need to know something more, I can teach you those lessons, he said to him. Janabharata's answer was very polite, at the same time very straight to the point. He wanted to tell the king that you are, although learned, you claim to have learned and you claim to have understood and read the books, nothing has gone in, nothing has changed you, there's no changes happened in you. And then he told the king again that if you feel that you have something to tell me, that if you think that you have something to chastise me, all the sarcastic words what you have spoken, you are telling me that my body, you are going to punish me, and that I am not concerned about it because I know I have nothing to do with this body. This body will get old, and just like it was new when it was born, and one day it will shed itself off me, and then it will die and it will go away. So what is the lesson I am going to learn from that? It's the body that you are going to punish, isn't it? He said. When he spoke all these things, Rahugana immediately started thinking, this is not a normal person. Normally our carriers of palanquin don't speak this kind of language. this is coming from a source which is somewhat different. You see, the same Kavilamuni I am looking for, to whose ashram I am going for to find out. And king was intelligent, king was not stupid, so he immediately fell down on the floor, held his feet. When he looked at his body, he saw the sacred thread which was completely dirty across his shoulder. And when he saw that, he started, realized and looked at him, and he saw that Brahmadevasa. Brahmadevasa means the refulgence due to that Brahman realization, what he had, the high degree of realization he had, he could see that on his face. Because Rahugana was a learned person, he fell at his feet and started apologizing to him. And apologized to him in such a way, he told him that when I heard you speaking like this to me, I think that I have committed a serious offense at you, at your feet. And please forgive me, and I offer my apologies. At the same time, please reveal your identity. I have the feeling that you are either Kapilamuni in the Kapilashram to whom I am searching for, or some great personality like this to whom I have committed this offense. Whatever you have told is exactly matches with what I studied in the books. Everything what you have told is in the books also when I have studied them. But all these thoughts are not coming to my understanding correctly. I am not able to completely absorb that into my life. And then, it is then, he says to him, in the Bhagavatam, you will see there, Brahmana Uvacha. Brahmana is talking now. Then, he started speaking to him, that I have some doubts, Rahugana said. Although whatever you said is true, I still doubt some things, he said. So he is telling that, you are telling me that if your body is hurt, it will not hurt you? This is what you are telling me. If suppose I put this heavy weight on you, of the shoulder, of this palanquin, you are telling me it will not affect you? Which I cannot understand, he said, because my understanding is, in the Bhagavatam it is said like this, Stulagni tabal, payasopi tabal, tattavada tandula garbharandhi. In the Bhagavatam, Vishrishogan says like this, that Stulagni tabal, payasopi tabal, suppose you put the pot on the fire, and then you heat, you burn the firewood, and the pot starts getting heated. When the pot starts getting heated, you pour water into it. And then what happens after some time? The water gets heated. Stula agni dhabal, payaso bhi dhabal. Or instead of water, if you put milk there, the milk will get boiling. Milk, after some time, milk will get heated. Tathabidam dandula garbharandhi. Then if you put rice into that, after some time, the milk will boil, and in course of time, the rice will also boil. When the rice boils, eventually, inside the rice will get boiled, and eventually the same heat what you have applied to the pot, it will affect the rice inside. He was saying this. He's saying to Janabharata, in the same way, if I hand over this weight on your shoulder, will that not weight goes on into your body, and eventually it affects you? This was his question. Exactly in the same way, Sulagni dhaval, payaso abhidhaval, tathavidam dandula garbharandhi. It will not affect in the same way, he said to Jadabharata. Jadabharata said at that point, that my dear king, he says, Brahmana Uvacha, in the Bhagavatam, that chapter, it is where the Rahugana Bharata Samvadam begins, or the discussion between Rahugana and Bharata, and Bharata's instruction, Jadabharata's instructions to Rahugana begins there. So he says to Rahugana, that, Brahmana Uvacha, akovida kovida vada vada vadasi, that he said to him, to Rahugana, Rahugana, you are thinking that you are very, very learned, aren't you? He said. But as far as I am concerned, you don't know anything, he said to him. This is exactly like that. This is the pure relationship between a proper spiritual master and the disciple. In the Bhagavatam explains there. Then, akovida kovida vada vada vadasi. Then you are thinking that, oh, I have mastered all these books, I've learned so many things. And you are talking as though you are a very, very learned person. You will see the same thing what Krishna does to Arjuna. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita beginning, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? Then Krishna says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna there, that ashochananyashojastam pratyavadam shabhashase gadasunagadasumsha manishojanvipandidaha. Then Krishna says to Arjuna, that ashochananyashojastam, you are lamenting on something which is not worth lamenting. Pratyavadam shabhashase, that, and you are speaking as though you are very, very learned. Gadasunagadasumsha manishojanvipandidaha. That a learned person do not lament neither for the living nor for the dead. That is the learned person's quality. You don't have any such quality. You have not learned anything. You are just act talking as though you are a very, very learned person. So in the first few words itself, exactly like Krishna did to Arjuna, here also you find Jadavarada did exactly the same thing to Rahugana. Jadavarada told Rahugana that you are totally ignorant. Because he wanted to cut that pride through. That pride can come in so many ways, especially normally the system in the Vedic tradition is that one should sit at the feet of the spiritual master and learn from him. Because independent individual learning is not advised, like in today's modern day learning is not acceptable for one reason only, that in the modern system of education, even if they try to learn all these, of course they don't learn anything spiritual, they learn material things. But even when knowledge is to be acquired, there is a system. The system is that you should learn from an authority directly. That is necessary. If that system is not followed, what will happen is, if one does not take to the system rightly, in course of time, if one, it is possible to learn by oneself, by looking into the books and discussing with people, one can learn things from the Shastra. But that kind of learning will eventually develop pride in the heart. Because after some time, one will start thinking that I don't need the help of anybody, I can learn myself. So the very purpose of education is to get rid of the pride from the heart. The pride should go. But instead, all this education will increase the pride inside. And this is considered to be one of the major defects of the modern system of education. Modern system of education is purely based on a business transaction. You go to school or college and you pay a certain amount of money. The professors or lecturers, they expect from you to pay that money. And as soon as you pay, it is understood that they are serving you, they become your servants. There is no more dignity for them in the system. The system doesn't allow to have them any dignity. And therefore, as soon as they leave the school or college, they question them, or even in there, they don't deal with them in the proper, respectful way, what it is expected in the Vedic system. Whereas, in the Vedic education system, it was meant to be that the teacher do not expect anything from them. It was done out of love and compassion for qualified students to come and learn. But that discipline is required, that surrender attitude is required, and the realized teacher or the personality who is teaching them also had the qualifications to elevate this person into the higher level of understanding of spiritual life. So many things, the system cannot be rejected. If you reject the system, the result is that even after spending billions of pounds in the education, when they come out, they turn out to be criminals. This is the result of this education. So you can see, no matter how advanced technology you teach in the school or college, at the end of the day, the person who comes out of that ends up in this situation, what good is that worth of education? At the end, it is only a disaster. So from here you can see, the Vedic system is very perfect. It was expected that it will elevate a person, even if he is degraded. At some point in time, he will be elevated by following that system which has been developed by the great sages. So because of all this, you can see, when he started talking to Rahugana, when Brother Jadavarada started talking to Rahugana, he said to Rahugana that you do not understand anything, you have no realizations, he said to him. You have studied all these books and you have come to me and telling me that you know everything, and now you are looking for a spiritual master. But you haven't got any realizations from this, what you have studied. So like this, he started cutting through him, through his ignorance. And he started telling him that this material body, what you are referring to as that I will punish you, I am the king and you are my subject and I got the right to do this with you, all this is just stupid statements. It doesn't mean anything to me, he said. And not only in addition to that, he also said to him that you are telling me that I am going to be punished by my behavior.
But that's what you are thinking, that you are in the rightly situated. Whatever you instruct, everybody should follow. At the same time, you are thinking of going back to the spiritual world. It doesn't work like that, he said to him. So Rahugana was a little bit shaken by this sudden criticism from... he was not used to it. After all, he was a king and a kshatriya, and his pride is not so easy to control. But here he has no choice, because you are standing in front of a personality who already has these qualities fully manifesting in him. So in that situation, he said to Rahugana, "Rahugana, please try to understand." Then he started in the Brahmana Vacha, he continues there. Rahuganaida tapasana yadim na chejaya narvahana gahadvam na chandasa naiva jala agni surya vina mahal padara jodishayam. That's the first verse in that instruction. Rahuganaida tapasana yadi. My dear Rahugana, you are telling me that you have performed penances, austerities and penances. No, it doesn't help, he said. Rahuganaida tavasanayadi na jejaya naruhana grihadvam. You might have performed so many sacrifices. Sacrifices as a king, you could easily do that. Na jejaya naruhana grihadvam na chandasa naiva jala agni suryo vina mahalpa darajo bishegam. That you have done all these things, that's very, very nice. Na chandasa naiva jala agni suryo vina mahalpa darajo bishegam. That you might have done all these things, that you might have worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the sun, in the water, in the fire, everywhere. Everything. Chandas, you must have studied all the Vedic Shastra, everything. But nothing will work unless and until you have taken the shelter of the great soul. This is was the first verse he puts in. Rahuganaida tavasa nayadi na chejayam nurvabhana dhadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suryo vina mahal padara jodishayam. That he spoke like this, the first verse, and Rahugana has immediately realized where the mistake is. Because he was an intelligent person, he was able to understand that what was going wrong in his life. Vina mahal padara jodishayam. That unless you take, now this is also causes confusion sometimes, because this statement vinamahal padara jodishegam, what it means, it says there that unless you take the dust from a great soul and put it on your head, vina, and not only just put it, you have to perform abhishek, it says vinamahal padara jodishegam, the rajas from the mahal padam of the great souls, and you perform abhishek with that, unless you do that, none of these things is going to help. This is how he said to him. Rahuganaida tavasana yadi na jejaya narubana gahadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suryurvina mahal padara jodishegam. He said like this. Now this is also sometimes misleading. So somebody heard this and thought himself that perhaps I have to get some dust from some great soul's feet. So he came to the temple and he saw, he's a great soul, looking around in the temple, he saw some sannyasi walking out. He came up to him and told him, "Could you stand for a minute? Let me take some dust from your feet." So he said, okay. He picked up some dust and he started putting on his head, all that. What does it mean? It means, in the Bhagavatam throughout you will find so many, this is known as Alangarika Bhasha. Alangarika Bhasha means, this is the way of expressing things. Now what has happened to this person was, he's gone and picked up the dust and put it on his head. Basically what it was, it was already dust inside, now it is outside also full of dust. That's all the difference that has happened. Nothing else has changed. Vinamahal paala rajodishegam. Actually rajodishegam means, this is only a literary expression. It actually means that unless you serve a great soul and take his instruction seriously in life, and act in such a way to please that person and get his mercy from him, you will not make progress in spiritual life. This is what it means. But the way it is expressed in the language is vinamahal paada rajobhishegam. So people can misunderstand, especially when they are not used to that kind of expression in life. They will take it in this way also. And this sannyasi or somebody whose feet from here is picked up the dust, the sannyasi says, okay, he probably pays him £10 as a dakshina and says, you take it now, please. and I've got my best, you got the cash, please. So that can happen. This is the difference when we understand things in the wrong way. So yagu ganatvasana yadi na jaya murvana ghadwa na chandasa naiva jalagni suryo vina amahalpa rajobhishekam. So this way he started his instruction. And at that time, Rahugana started realizing where things were going wrong. And Rahugana was expecting him to help at that time. And at that time, Rahugana listening to him, he started becoming more humble. And his ego has gone. By now, his ego has gone. And he has realized that unless I take this great soul's instruction seriously, nothing is going to happen to me. Nothing will change in me. It was at that time, our Jatabharata started revealing his own identity. And how did he put in? Aham vira bharato nama raja. I was Emperor Bharat once, he said. Aham vira bharato nama raja. As soon as he heard this, Rahugana collapsed there. Why? Because Rahugana's grandfather was a small king reporting to King Bharata at that time. You can see that how that relationship happened. In 3 births ago, he was Emperor Bharata, who ruled the planet at that time. Aham vira bharato nama rajam. That I was that king, Emperor Bharata, but it has happened to me like this. That aham vira bharato nama rajam. That I was that king, Emperor Bharata at that time. And Rahugana has got a bit fright because his father or grandfather were a small king under Emperor Bharat. And now, here he is making him to carry his parent queen. In this lifetime, things have changed to such a degree. And here he is telling me that this is what he was before. And mrgo bhavam mrga sangha dhadartam, that due to my attachment to a deer, I have fallen down to this condition. Mughobhavam mrga sangha dhadartam, that this is what has happened to me. That aham vira bharato nama raja vimukta drishta shruti sangha bandhaha, that I was detached and determined to go to the forest and to perform penances to go back to the spiritual world. Look what has happened to me. Vimukta drishta shruti sangha bandhaha, that I got attached to a deer. And the result was that mrgo bhavam mrga sangha dadartam, that I became a deer. The result of associating with that deer was that I got this deer's body from there. but that was one life was gone. And in this life I have come here. That what has happened here now? Samam smrita mrga deho bivira Krishna Arjuna prabhavo no jahadi. That Krishna Arjuna prabhavo, that is what is more important thing there to look at. That word used is Krishna Arjuna prabhavo no jahadi samam smritam mrga deho bivira Krishna Arjuna prabhavo no jahadi. That although I got that deer's body, something else happened to me at that time, because I served Krishna when I was Emperor Bharat. That was his greatness. Because he served Krishna sincerely and because he tried to please Krishna, Krishna has followed him through the next body in the deer also, in the form of that knowledge. That previous life, what I was, that knowledge followed him through in the deer's body, and later on, even in this body now, I experienced that. And therefore, because I knew what has happened to me, I decided that I will not commit that mistake again of associating with the modes of nature or with other living entities, because that will only entangle me here. And therefore I have decided, Krishna Arjuna Prabhavo no Jahadi. So Krishna Arjuna Prabhavo, that no other demigods, anything, nothing is mentioned there. Specifically says there, Krishna Arjuna Prabhavo no Jahadi. That serving Krishna means, this is what a devotee will never fall. He will move further. At some point, Krishna will bring him out from that situation. And that is what Janabharata's story is telling us very strongly. So Krishna, Adamaho janasanga dasango vivaschamano vivradascharami vishangamano vivradascharami. At that point in time, I came to my realization. Atho aham janasanga asango. I do not want to do anything with the people, he says. With no living entity I want to deal with or mix with them. Vishangamano Vivradascharami. I started moving in this way from then on. This is what he started telling to Raghuna. Raghuna understood his point. But still, the question remained that how can he... the question he was asking was that you are now in this situation and me, as you said, I have not understood any of these things. I was not able to experience. But Janabharata decided to explain that to him, that you can also see from Janabharata's point of view that a self-realized soul does not experience this world exactly the same way people like us experience this world. That is the difference. A realized soul has gone beyond the body to such a degree that the bodily problems, the bodily difficulties, what we experience. For example, often we fight against heat and cold and so many other discomforts in this material world. But what is that differentiate from a self-realized soul from our life in this world? The difference is, due to the excessive degree of detachment and renunciation they had acquired or they have achieved in their life, and due to that, the high degree of realization that has come along with that, the bodily needs of their body has completely gone away. That does not disturb them anymore. In addition to that, even in that condition, when their body is subjected to the same tribulations like our body, it does not affect them. Why? Because in that situation, it is Krishna who is inside, situated within their body, looking after that body, and therefore things do not bother them. This is not very difficult to understand, because even if you take for practical example in your own life, certain things you can practice that experience this by your own analysis. Just for example, those who use glasses, those who wear glasses, they will know sometimes that you are wearing the glasses, and sometimes at some time, different times, different styles existed. Sometimes you have thick frames and thick glasses, and these are different style at different times. You can take it like that. But you keep these glasses, and because your mind is occupied with reading or with something else, some other conversation or other activities, often you don't even realize that the glass is there on your nose. You can't think like that. You forget about it. And I know somebody keeping the glass on the nose. He was looking for his glass somewhere. And suddenly one of his grandchildren told him that, "I can see the glass on your nose," he said, sitting there. Or only then he realized that the glass was there. Why? It is just that feeling of attachment or realization that is linked with that glass is only there as long as one is conscious of that. One is not conscious of that, that way it doesn't bother, it doesn't affect him at all, because he is in a different consciousness. That means sometimes you can say it's about 250 to 300 grams, the weight of the glass, and when it rests on this tip of the nose, on the top of the nose, and with all the weight on that, at least one should feel that the glass is there. But sometimes even it doesn't affect like that. Now this is for those, this is a small example for those who wear glasses. But those who don't wear glasses, how can we explain that to them? That's much more easier to express. For example, generally we all feel the weight, something is put on our body, that's what we will complain about it. The heavier the weight, we experience that. But if you have seen some of the marriages, if you go and observe some of the marriages of some wealthy people, you will notice something interesting there. I stand and look at some of them to see how, when the people got married, how they reacted. So often, very wealthy families, when they marry their daughters away, or the marriage time, normally in the evening hours or so, the girl fully dressed up comes for the marriage ceremony. So the wealthy parents, or sometimes the girls also, they want to display their opulence. So in normal situation, a lot of gold chain they put it on their neck. The girls, they put a lot of gold chain on their neck to show to others that I look gorgeous, do I? And that was the feeling behind it. So anyway, when they do that, if you calculate the weight of some of these gold chains, what they put on, generally one sovereign is about 8 grams if I understood correctly, it's roughly 8 grams. And normally, very wealthy people, when they marry, something like 150 sovereigns or 200 sovereigns even sometimes, they hand over in gold. And the girls, the bride is fully dressed and all these chains on her neck. So you can see the weight of that. Even if you take 150 sovereigns, it's about 1200 grams. That means 1 kilogram and 200 grams weight is on the neck. Now, when she comes to be for the marriage, fully dressed up with expensive saris and all this jewelry around, 1.2 kilograms is hanging on the neck in weight. But if you look at the girl, she's not keeping her head down, she's keeping head up. Why is that? Because she is not affected by that weight. She's thinking, if you want to bring another 100 kilograms or 100 grams and put it on my neck, I'll be happy to wear that. That's her attitude at that time. Why? She is not feeling that weight at that point. On the other hand, you take out all the gold chains and everything, and you give her 500 grams weight, and put the chain around and put it on her neck. After 5 minutes, she'll say, oh, it's too much for me, can you take it away from there? Why is this difference? The difference is, this is the reason behind it, that everything what you experience in this world, this is just an example to show that material body is not something like it's not, it doesn't follow the laws of strength of materials. It doesn't follow that rule. This is a very clear example. Another example, if you look at your own body, the head weighs how much? The head probably weighs about 3-4 kilos. The head is standing on the top of the body. There is no time the rest of the body has complained any time that, look, this head is too heavy on my body, so please take it away for temporarily or move it. Has any time the body has complained? Never. Look at the two arms hanging around on both sides, each weighing about 5 or 7 kilos on either side. Has any time the body complained about this weight hanging on the sides? Take about the rest of the body, the whole part, top part of the body, the breast and the stomach, everything. Who carries them all? The legs are carrying. Has any time the legs complained that all this weight is on top of me? They never complained about that. So if you come to the knees have got almost all the weight of the body on the knee. The knees have never complained about it. And take the pure feet, what it has to carry, this 100 kilos it has to drag everywhere. And the feet has never complained about it. Instead of feeling the pain here in the body, is the pain that sometimes you feel is in the head, on the other way. It's a headache that you get, not the ache in the limbs. So from this you can see that this material body has certain different nature. Or in other words, depending on the consciousness inside, the material laws you can't apply completely to the material body, exactly the same way what we apply to dead matter. And that is the difference between our body and the dead matter. Because of the presence of soul inside the body, the consciousness determines a lot of factors of the performance of this body and the body's interaction with the material nature. And that is why, in spite of all this weight that is hanging on in this body, body never complains about it, because of the presence of the soul inside of that body. And similarly, strictly speaking, in the same way, that Jarabharata said to Rahugana, that Rahugana, what you have to understand is this, that this material body is not simply a lump of matter, and it is not affected by these things. Rather, in a realized state of mind, when one is completely released from this body, although he is within, the living force is within, he is not affected by the activities of the body. When you said, you want to pass on that palanquin onto my shoulder, I have no problem, you can put that palanquin there. It doesn't bother me, because I am not occupying that body anymore. I am freed from that bodily concept of life. So this is how the difference happens. In the realized state, this understanding of body is paining here, body is paining there, everywhere, paining, all these complaints will go. Why? Because that doesn't affect you anymore. It is already out of the body. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this personality, Jadabharata is telling us, and you will notice there also, that a spiritual master who has this capacity to make to show it to a disciple and convince him on this point of realization that he is free from the body, that he is different from the body, is the personality one should surrender to. Srila Prabhupada explains in the commentary on these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you find a teacher who has come to this state of realization, one should immediately take his shelter and take instructions from him. This is where the difference comes. That such a personality are very, very rare in this world. Who can give the... To talk about all the verses is very easy. And to tell that this is what the verse says, and it is very easy to theoretically understand. But to make someone practically experience that, what the verse says, requires realizations. And that realization, Jadabharata had. Exactly, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find the same thing repeated again and again and again. When Krishna was instructing Uddhava, at one point Krishna said to Uddhava, I am talking to you all these things, and but I want to make sure at the end whatever I have spoken is not wasted. That is the nature of a devotee and the Supreme Lord also. Krishna is also like that. He doesn't want to waste his words. If it is spoken, it should have the desired effect or net result from that. And if you read Uddhava's words at the end of the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there, Vidravido moha mahandhakaram, in what a darkness I was before, from where you have pulled me out. So many times this has happened to me. Every time I fall into this illusion that I am this body and I start doing things in this world, identifying with this body, every time you came and lighted the lamp and pulled me out of this darkness. So that is how this self-realization is not a simple thing which can be proven in the laboratory. It has to come from self-realized souls. Only they can teach us. Hihi me dehamoham teja pavana guradishayal premahedo dehe vitte kalatradishaju vishadam vivashadam tulpadam vismarandi. That is how it's mentioned. Hihi me dehamoham. This bodily concept of life, once it gets in, teja pavana guradishayal premahedo. It is so difficult to come out of this body, understanding of this body. It is only possible when there is Krishna's mercy, or Krishna's mercy comes to a devotee who has pleased Krishna or who has surrendered to Krishna. Hihi me dehamoham teja bhavana guradishayal premahedo dehe vitte kalatra adishaju vivashadam tulpadam vismarandi. The result is that the problem in this bodily concept of life is, as soon as one identifies with the body and one is caught up in that, then all the other things follows that. Vitam, money, next thing you need, kalatram, wife, vivashadam tulpadam vismarandi. And then there are three things in the Vedic literature referred to as Eshanatrayam. Eshanatrayam means the three things which actually binds a householder to this world. One is the children, then the money and the wife. These are the three things. It's based on this, everything else is running on top of it. Dehevite kalatra adushaja vishidam tulpadam vismarandi. The result of that will be Krishna's lotus feet is forgotten immediately. There is no more time for Krishna. Swayam vanyeshunovam. Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, there is 24 spiritual masters mentioned. And what one has learned from all these different spiritual masters to develop that renunciation in heart. Because without renunciation, spiritual knowledge will not come in life. That is how it is. And to show that example, Krishna himself is saying to Uddhava from the beginning itself that renunciation is absolutely necessary. And to give an example, he starts quoting the life of the Atreya Rishi who has taken the sannyasa ashram. So there it is mentioned 24 spiritual masters. And after 24 spiritual masters were discussed, at the end of that, Krishna says to Uddhava that there is one more after this 24, and it is the 25th spiritual master. What is the 25th spiritual master? 25th spiritual master is nothing but your own body. Why this body is your own spiritual master? Because from this body you can learn so many things. Then what did Yadu Maharaj learn from this? Atreya Rishi told Yadu that, my dear Yadu, this my own body is my realization. Why? Soyam vanyeshunovam. That what is this body at the end? It doesn't even belong to me. And one day when I leave this body, either dogs or foxes or whoever animals they get it, jackals or whoever it is, they will come and eat this body. So I cannot claim any right on it. I have no authority even. I'll be forced to leave this, and then it is their food. Otherwise, fire will take over. The fire will burn it into ashes. And I'm finished with that. My attachment and my authority or control on this body is over at that point. That like this, everything else is in this world is simply called us and caught us in their jurisdiction. Or we are controlled by all the body, the senses, the mind, everything else. So there is no freedom for living entity as he is thinking that he has got a lot of freedom. One understands that this material body and is even not even his own material body is his property. And when that realization gets stronger, how else can one free oneself except to get detached to it? That is the question Atreya Rishi has asked Yadu Maharaj. When one realizes totally that at the end of his life, or whatever certain time he has got in his lifetime, when the time is over, and when the body is taken away for food by these animals or to the fire, whatever it is, then what else can he say? That even one's own body is not one's own property. What to speak about the rest of the things in this material world? So like this, we will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Jadavarada's position was, he was such a realized, it is not only theoretical knowledge, all this has been realized to him to such a degree that Rahuvana had no other option except to surrender to him at that point totally. That was the instruction from that unless one pleases, finds a person who is a Mahatma, who is the great soul, and unless one takes that instruction carefully into one's own heart and accepts that and pleases him by his actions, there is no other way this will manifest in that person. This is the instructions of Jadavarada to Rahugana. Rahugana heard all these things and immediately they surrendered to him. And at that time, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Jadavarada put both his hands on Rahugana and told him, whatever I have told, let this manifest in you totally. And this is the potency of that great soul, that great personality. He wanted that whatever Rahugana has heard from him in a short amount of time, if that whole knowledge, if it manifests in him, he will be released from his bodily concept of life. That was his only defect. He had all the knowledge. He had all the desire to know things. And that is why he was going to Kapilashram to see Kapilamuni. The only problem with him was that he had this bodily concept of life standing on the way. He was still thinking, I am the king and I can order him to do what he has to do. And I am this, I am that, as usual. Janasya moho, I am hammamedi, me and mine, everything, and I am the owner of this. But one who is not freed from this concept, what possibility is there to understand what is spiritual life? So it is in this background that Rahugana immediately surrendered to him, and Jadavarada blessed him with this knowledge. And there you will also see something very interesting. There he says that in the next two chapters after this, what is known as Bhavadavi Varmanam. Bhavadavi means that material world is discussed in detail. And to discuss that material world, what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we properly discuss that, it will take something like 10 to 12 days to discuss that, the two chapters in the Bhagavatam. It is so exhaustive in detail. But in short words, what it meant was that my dear Rahugana, he said to the king, you have to learn how to walk through this world, how you have to be independent of the material nature. But you may not be able to do that all the time because material nature will pull you from all directions. Three modes of nature and your own prarabdha, karma, everything will pull you into different directions. But I will give you a sword to cut through this forest, he said. And that sword is a very special sword, he told him, because that is not what we require when you go through a forest where you have no knowledge which direction to go, or if you want to cut the trees or the creepers or anything to get your way out through, you need the sword in the hand. But this sword, he says, that this sword has got one property. The property is like this, that with this sword you can cut anything, but it is not sharp enough. The sword I am handing over to you is not sharp enough, but you have to sharpen it all the time. How do you sharpen it? You sharpen it by sadhana. By spiritual life you sharpen this. By performing your austerities and penances and performing the sadhana, what is required? That it should be sharpened with the knowledge, he says. You should have the knowledge so that it is always remain sharp. That means by properly cultivating spiritual life, by learning things and by developing that spiritual knowledge, your consciousness will be always very clear and sharp in spiritual life. But at the same time, what does that help? How does that develop? Upasanaya shidenam. Upasana is required. Upasana means that a type of spiritual life which will always strengthen one's spiritual position, realizations. And unless this is there, you cannot travel through this forest. And that is how Rahugana was instructed by Jarabharata. So after these instructions, Rahugana goes, talks about, when he spoke all these things, Parikshit Maharaj found a little bit difficult to digest all these things in one lot, everything. So, of course, the way Sugriva Goswami has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a lot more in depth. And Sri Shivan was thinking that, if this is the case, I've got only a few days left now here, and after that I have to pack up and go. So he was confused in his mind, and seeing the condition of Parikshit Maharaj, you can see all this in the Bhagavatam if you read, you'll find that. Sugriva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj in one chapter, he explained this forest of enjoyment as it is titled in Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam, the forest of enjoyment of the material nature. And when he did not understand that, he explained that in another chapter after that. So before we go into that chapters, I'd just like to read a few chapters which I haven't finished before, and then we will continue with the fifth canto. Yes. Fifth canto. I'll just tell you one second. I think it's the, I don't know.
Shri Shuka Uvacham Ekadadu Mahanandhyam Kradabhishega Nayamivam Avashyado Brahmacharam Adhigranam Mahortatrayam Udagandam Upavivesham Tatra dada rajan harini vivasaya jarashaya bhyam shami gayo bajagama taya pediyamana mudagi kava deva vidurena nadado mrugavadeerunnado loga bhayangaram udavadal tamo vashrutya samagra bhagavadhu prakriti viklava chagra nirikshanam sudaramabhi hari bhaya bhinivesha vigrahadaya variplava drishti agda trishabhayal sahasayo chakrama Tasyam Ulpatandyam Andanuatnyam Urubhayavagalido Yoni Vagado Garba Srodasi Nipapada Tal Prasavol Sarpana Bhayakeda Dura Swaganina Vyujyamanam Kasyam Jindaryam Krishna Saraswadim Nipapathara Chamamaram Tam Tvena Kunagam Krapanam Srodasa Nuhyamanam Abhivikshya Bhavidham Bandurivani Kambayam Rajarshi Bharadam Adayam Radam Adaram Ityashrama Vadamanayal Tasya hava ena kunaga uccheiredasmin krata nijabhimanasya aharahastal poshana palana lavana priyananam anadhyaninam almamimaha sahayamaha purusha parijaryadayam egaigasha kadubayena harganena vyujyamanaha kila sarvamevodavasan ahobadayam harina kunaga kribana ishwara ratha charana paribhramanare ena sukana suhul bandubhyam parivarjida sharanam jam obasadido mameva madapidaro Adritnyadin Yodhigam Shayobeya Nanyam Kanjana Veda Mayadi Srabdaschadam Eva Maya Malparayana Sivoshana Palana Premana Lavana Anasuyan Shteyam Sharanyo Beksha Dosha Vidusha Nunam Jadya Sadha Ubashama Shila Kribana Sukhradam Eva Vidarte Swarthanabi Guru Taran Ubekshande Iti Kridanu Shangamastana Shainana Stashana Asana Shayanavana Stana Asana Vishu Saham Rajahunam Snehana Baddakhdayam Asil Kushakusama Kusumasamil Palasha Palamulo Daganya Harishamano Vrigasala Vrigadibhyo Bhayamasham Samano Yada Sahaharina Kunagainavanam Samavishadim Padishujam Abdhabhavinam
తత్ర తత్ర విషక్తమది త్రణయ భర హృదయ కార్పణ్యాల్ స్కంధీనోద్వహదేవముల్సంగ ఉరసి చాధాయో బలాలేన్ముదం పరమామవాపాం క్రియాయం నివర్త్యమానాయ వందరాలేప్యుత్థోయార్థోత్థాయ వైనమభిచక్షీత తర్హి వావస వర్షపది ప్రకృతిస్తేన మనసా తస్మాశిషమాశాస్తే స్వస్తి స్వాద్వల్సదే సర్వద ఇది అన్యదాభృషముద్విగ్నమనామష్టద్రవిణ ఇవ కృపణా సకరుణమదిదర్శేన హరిణ కొనగ విరహ విహ్వల హృదయ సందావస్తేవ సందావస్తమేవానుశోచన్ జల కష్మలం మహదమిరంభినమిది హోవాచా అభివదసవై కృపణమేణ బాళగోమృత హరిణీసుతో మమానాయ్య షఠకిరాతమదేరకృత సుకృతస్య కృత విశ్రంభమాత్మ ప్రత్యయేన తదవిగణయన్ స్వజనమివాగమిష్యది అభిక్షేమేణాస్మిన్నశ్రమోపవనే శష్మాని చరందం దేవగుప్తం ద్రక్ష్యామి అవిజనమృగశాలావృగోన్యతమో వా నైకజనమేకజరో వా భక్షయవి నిమ్లోచదీహ భగవాన్ సకల జగరక్షేమోదయత్రయ్యాత్మాద్యామిమన మృగవధూన్యాసం ఆగచ్చతి అభిస్తుతృతసుగతమాగత్య మాం సుఖయిష్యది హరిణరాజకుమారో వివిధ రుచిర దర్శనీయ నిజమృగ దారక వినోదై అసంతోషం స్వానామదనుదన్ క్షోళికాయా మాం ముషా సమాధీనామీలిదశం ప్రేమ సంరంభేణ చగిత చగితమాగత్య పృషదవ ఋషవిషానాగ్రేణ లుఠది ఆసాదిద విషుదర్హిషి దూషిరేమయోపలబ్ధో భీద భీద సద ఉదరదరాస ఋషికుమారవద వహితకరణవలావమాస్తే కిమ్వామరేమాచరితం తమస్తవ సున్యానే అం యదియమవని సవినే కృష్ణ సారదనేనుగర సుభగ శివతమాఖరవిరద్రవిణ విధురాదురస్య కృపణస్య మమ ద్రవిణ పదవీం సూచయంద్యాల్పానంద సర్వద కృత కౌతుకం ద్విజానాం స్వర్గావవర్గనామానాం దేవయజనం కరోతి అభిస్వితసౌ భగవానుపతిరేణం మృగమది భయామృతమాదరం మృగబాలకం స్వాశ్రమం పరిభ్రష్టమనుగంభయాం కృపణ జనవల్సల పరిపాది కిమాల్పజ విశేష విశ్లేషజ్వరదవదవ జ్వర అవదహన శిఖాభిరుపదప్యమాన హృదయ స్థల నళినీకం మాముపస్రుత మృగీమయం శిశిర శాంతానురాగ గుణగ నిజవదన సలిలామృతమయ సలిలామృతమయ స్థితి సుధయదీదిజాం ఏం అఘటమాన మనోరథాకుల హృదయో మృగధార ఘాభాసేన స్వారబ్ధ కర్మణాం యోగారంభో విభ్రంశిత స యోగా తాపసో భగవదారాధన లక్షణాచ కథమితరత జాత్యంతరం ఏన కుణగమాసంగ సాక్షాం నిశ్రేయసపది ప్రతిపక్షదయా ప్రాక్ పరిత్యక్త దుస్థిజ హృదయాభిజాత స్థితస్యైవ అంతరాయ విహద యోగారంభణస్య రాజర్షేర్ భరతస్య తావన్ మృగార్భగ పోషణ పాలన ప్రేమ లాళన అనుషంగేణాం విగణయదమాత్మానం ృగమేవాభినివేశమృగశరీరమవాపాత్రాభిహవమాత్మనోమృగత్వకారణంభగవదారాధనసమీహానుభవేనానుస్మృత్యంభృషమనుదప్యమానమాహ అహోకష్టం భ్రష్టోహం ఆత్మవనం ఆత్మవదామనుపదాద్ విముక్త సమస్త సంగస్య వివిక్త పుణ్యారణ్య శరణస్యాత్మవదం ఆత్మని సర్వేషాం ఆత్మానాం భగవతి వాసుదేవే తదను శ్రవణ మనన సంకీర్తన ఆరాధనానుస్మరణాభియోగేనాం యోగేనాశూన్య సకలయామేన కాళేన సమావేశితం సమాహితం కాల్స్నేన మనస్తత్తు పునర్మవా భూతస్యారాన్ మృగసుతమను పరిశుశ్రావాం ఇత్యేవం నిగూఢ నిర్వేదో విసృజ్య మృగీ మాదరం పునర్భగవ క్షేత్రం ఉపశమశీల మునిగణ దైదం సాలగ్రామం పులస్య పులహాశ్రమం కాలంజరాల్ ప్రత్యాజగామాం తస్మిన్న వియాలం ప్రతీక్షమాణం సంగాచమృషముద్విగ్నం ఆత్మసహజర శుష్కపర్ణ తీర్మ శుష్కపర్ణ తృణ వీరుధా వర్తమానో మృగత్వం నిమిత్తావసాన గణయం మృగశరీరం తీర్థోదగ క్లిన్నముససల్సర్జా ఉల్ససర్జా శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాప్రాణే పంచమస్కందే వరజోదో నామష్టమోధ్యాయ శ్రీశుగవాజాం అవగస్య ద్విజవరంగ ద్విజవరస్య అంగిర ప్రవరస్య శమదమ తమ స్వాధ్యాయ అధ్యయన త్యాగ సంతోష తదీక్ష ప్రశ్రయ విద్య అనసూయ ఆత్మజ్ఞానంద యుక్తస్య ఆత్మ సదృశ శూలశీలాచార రూప ఔదార్య గుణం ఔదార్య గుణం నవ సోదర్యామంగజాం బభూర్మిథునం చ యవీయస్యాం భార్యాయాం యస్తు తత్ర పుంసాంస్తం పరమ భాగవతం రాజర్షి ప్రవరం భరల్వుల్సృష్ట మృగ శరీరం తచ్చరమ శరీరేణ విప్రత్వం గదమాహు తత్రావిశ్వజన సంగాచముష ద్విషద్ ఉద్యుజమానో భగవదం కర్మబంధ విధ్వంసన శ్రవణ స్మరణ గుణ వివరణ చరణారవిందైవలం మనసా విదదదాత్మానం ప్రతిఘాతం ఆశంగమానో భగవదనుగ్రహేణానుస్మదస్వ అనుస్మరస్య పూర్వజన్మావళి ఆత్మానం ఉన్మత్తు జడాంధవీర స్వరూపేణ దర్శయామాసలోకస్యాం తస్యాభిహవాం ఆత్మజస్య విప్ర పుత్రస్నేహానుబద్ధమనాం ఆత్మాస ఆ సమావర్తన సంస్కారాన్ యథోపదేశం విదదానుపనీతస్య జమన శౌచాచమనాదీన్ కర్మనియమానన్ అభిప్రేదానపి సమశిక్షయన్ అనుశిష్టేన హి భావ్యం త్రిపుత్రే పితృపుత్రేణేది సచాపి తదుహ పితృసన్నిధావేవాసద్రీజీనమివ స్మ కరోతి ఛందాంసధ్యాపయిష్యన్ సహ వ్యాహృద్వీ స ప్రణవశిరస్త్రీపదిం సావిత్రీం గ్రైష్మవాసదీయాన్ మాస మాసానధీయానమప్యసమవేదరూపం గ్రాహయామాసాం ఏం సదనిజం ఆత్మన్య ఆత్మన్యని రాగావేశిత్తం శౌచాధ్యయన వ్రతమేమ ఉర్వనల శుశ్రూషణా ఔపకుర్వాణం ఉర్వాణగ కర్మాణ్యనభియుక్తాన్యపి సమనుశిష్టేన భావ్యమిత్యసదాగ్రహ పుత్రమనుశాస్య స్వయం తావధనధిగతమనోరథం కాళేన అప్రమత్తేన స్వయం గృహమేవ ప్రమత్తముపసంహృతం అథయవీయసీ ద్విజసదీం సుగర్భజాతం మిథునం సవత్న్యాముపన్యస్య స్వయమను సంస్థయాం పరిలోకమగాల్ పితృపరదే భ్రాతరమేణ మదల్ ప్రభావిత్రయ్యాం విద్యాయామే పర్యవసితమవయో నర విద్యాయం జడమతిరివి భ్రాతురనుశాసన నిర్బంధాన్యవత్సందాం సజ ప్రాకృతేర్ద్విపద పశుభి ఉన్మత్త జడపతిరేత్యేభిభాష్యమాణో యదా తదని రూపాన్ని ప్రభాషదే కర్మాణిజసకార్యమానం పరేచ్ఛయా కరోతి విష్టితో వేతనదో వాం యాజ్ఞయాయదృచ్ఛయాం వోపసాదితమల్పం బహుమృష్టం గదన్నం వా వ్యవహరది పరం ఇంద్రియప్రీతి నిమిత్తం నిత్య నివృత్త నిమిత్త సుసిద్ధ శుద్ధానుభవానంద స్వాత్మలాభాధిగమం సుఖదుఃఖయో ద్వంద్వ నిమిత్తయో అసంభవిత అసంభావిత దేహాభిమానః శీతోష్ణవాల వర్షేషు వృష ఇవానావృతాంగం పీన సంహననానంగ స్తంభిల సందేశనానున్వర్ధనామజ్జన రజస మహామణిరివానభివ్యక్తం బ్రహ్మవర్చస కపటావృతకటిరివ వీరేనోర్మిషణాదుజాదిపతి బ్రహ్మబంధురిని సంజ్ఞయాదజ్ఞజనావమచదో జనావమతో విచచారాం యదాదు పరదం ఆహారం కర్మవేదనమీహమానం స్వభాతృభిరవి కేదార కర్మణి నిరూపితస్తదవి కరోతి కిందున సమం విషమం న్యూనమధీగమిది వేద కణవిన్యా కమలీకరణం కుల్మాషస్థాని పురుషాదీన్యప్యవదం అభ్యవహరది అథ కదాచిల్ కశ్చిల్ వృషలవతిర్భద్రగాళీ పురుష పశు ఆలభదాపత్యకామ తస్య హాదేవముక్తస్య పశోపదవీం తదనుచారాం పరిధావందో నిశీ నిశీదం సమయే తమసావృతాయాం అనధిగత పశవ ఆకస్మికేన విధినా కేదారాన్ వీరాసనేన మృగవరాహాదిభ్య సంరక్షణమంగిర ప్రవరసుదమపశ్యన్ అథ తమేనమనవద్య లక్షణమవృశ్య భర్తృకర్మ నిష్పత్తిం మన్యమానాం బద్ధ్వారశనయా చండికాగ్రహముపనిర్ముదా వికసిత వదనాః అథమణయస్త్వం సువిధినా విశిచ్య హదేన వాససాచ్ఛాద్య భూషణాలే వస్త్ర తిలకాదివిరువస్కృతం భుక్తవందం దూపదీపమాల్యలా కిసలయాంగిరమలోపహారోపేదయ వైశస సంస్థయా మహదా గీతస్తుతి మృదంగ పునవాఘోషేణ పురుషవశం భద్రకాళ్యాం పురదం ఉపవేశయామాసు అథ వృషరాజమణి పురుషపశోరసృగాసవేన దేవీం భద్రకాళీం యక్షమాణస్తదవి మంత్రితమసి అధికరాళ నిషిదం ఉపాదతే ఇది తేషాం వృషలానాం రజస్తమ ప్రకృతీనాం ధనమదరాజ ధనమదరజ ఉల్సిక్తమనసాం భగవద్కలా వీరకులం కదర్తి గత్యోత్పదేన స్వైరం విహరదం హింసా విహారాణం కర్మాది దారుణం యల్ బ్రహ్మబోధస్య సాక్షాల్ బ్రహ్మర్షి సుఖస్య నిర్వైరస్య సర్వబోధ సుఖదం సూనాయామప్యనిర్మలమాలంభనం అతదవలభ్య బ్రహ్మ తేజసాది దుర్విషహేణ దంబహ్యమానీన వపుషా సహసోచ్చజాడసైవ దేవీ భద్రకాళీ విషమమర్ష రోషావేశ ృగుడిపకుడిలంష్టారుణేక్షణాడోపాది భయానజ వదనాం హందుకామే వేదం మహాటహాసమతి సంరంభేణ విముంచీ తదముల్పత్య పాపీయసాం దుష్టానాం దైనీవాసీనాం వివేకశీష్ణాం జలాశ్రవం నమస్రగా సమత్తిష్ణం సహగణేన నిబీయా దీపానమద విహులోచైస్తరాం స్వపార్శ్వే సహజగో నర్తజ విజహార శిర కందుకలీలయా ఏమేవ ఖలు మహదభిచారాదిక్రమ కాస్నేనాత్మని ఫలది నవాయదద్విష్ణుదత్తమహలల్బుదం యద సంభ్రమ స్వశిరశ్చేద ఛేదనమాపైదేవి విముక్తదేహాద్యాత్మభావ సుదృఢహృదయాం గ్రంథీనాం సర్వసత్వసుఖాత్మనాం నిర్వైరాణాం సాక్షాల్ భగవదా నిమిషారివరాయుధేనాం అప్రమత్తేన తైస్తేర్భావై పరిరక్ష్యమాణానాం తల్పాదమూలకృతశ్చిల్ భయమవస్వదానాం భాగవత పరమహంసానాం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పంచమస్కందే జడజవరగజరది నవమోధ్యాయ శ్రీ శుగవాజాం అథ సింధు సౌవీరవదే రఘుగణస్వజనం క్షుమత్యాస్తడే తత్కులవదీనాం శివిగావాహ పురుషాన్వేషణ సమయే దైవేనోపసాదిత సద్విజవరముపలబ్ధమేషమివ పీవాయువ సంహననాంగో గోఖరవద్వయం ఓడుమహలమిది పూవవిష్టీగృహీదే సహగృహీణాం వసవమదర్హల వాహ శివిగాం సమహానుభావాం యదా హి ద్విజవరస్యేషు మాత్రావలోకానుగదేర్న సమాహినాం పురుషగతిస్తదా విషమగదాం సుశుభిగాం రిహుగణోపదార్యాం పురుషానధివహద అహమేవోఢారం సాధ్వనికమ కిమిది విషమముఖ్యదేయానమిది అథ దేవీశ్వరమజస్వబాలం భముఖాకర్ణ్యోపాయం తురీయాచ్చన్యమనసస్తం విజ్ఞాపయాం బభూవు వయం నరదేవ ప్రమత్తా భవన్నేవానుభవ సాధ్వేవ వహామ అయమధునైవ నియుక్తో భిన్నద్రుదం వచదీనానేన సహవోడుముహవయం పారయామీది సాంసర్గియో దోషమేవ నూనమేఘస్యాపి సర్వేషాం సాంసర్గియాణాం భవితుమర్హతి నిశ్చిత్య నిశమ్య కృపణవజో రాజా రఘుగణ ఉపాసిత వృద్ధో వినిసర్గేణ బలాల్కృతం ఈషదుత్థితమన్యు అవిస్పష్ట బ్రహ్మతేజసం జాతవేద సంవరజ సావదం అధిరాహ అహో కష్టం భ్రాతవ్యక్తముపరి పరిశ్రాంతో దీర్ఘమధ్వానమేకమే ఉహివాన్ సుచిరం నాదిదీవాన్ సంహననాంగో జరసాం చోభద్రుదో భవాన్ సఖేనో ఏవాపరమేది సంఘటిన ఇది బహు విప్రలబ్ధోప్యవిద్య రజిత ద్రవ్యగుణ కర్మాశయం సుచరమ కళేబరే వస్తుయి సంస్థాన విశేషేహం మమీత్యాధ్యారో వినిత్యా ప్రత్యయో బ్రహ్మబోధస్తూష్ణిం శ్రీగాం పూర్వవదువాహ అథ పునస్ శివిగాయం విషమగదాయం ప్రకృతమువాచ రఘుగణ కిమిదమరే త్వం జీవన్మృదో మాం కదత్తీకృత్య భర్తృశాసనమధిచరసి ప్రమత్తస్య కరోమి విగి చికిత్సాం దండపాణిరివ జనదాయాం యథా ప్రకృతి స్వాం భజిష్య శైలి ఏవం బహుబద్ధమపి భాషమాణం నరదేవాభిమానం రజసాం తమసా నివిధేన మదేన తిరస్కృతాశేషవగల్ ప్రియనిగేదం పండితమానినం స భగవాన్ బ్రాహ్మణో బ్రహ్మభూత సర్వభూత సుహృదాల్మ యోగేశ్వరచర్యాయాం నారి ఉత్పన్నమదిం స్మయమానం ఇవ విగత స్మయం ఇదమాహ శ్రీ బ్రాహ్మణ వాచాం తయోరిదం వ్యక్తమ విప్రలబ్ధం భక్తస్వమే సద్ది వీరభార గంధుర్యది సద్ అధిగమ్య మధ్వాపి వేదిరాశౌ నవిదాం ప్రవాదాం స్థౌల్యం కార్షం వ్యాధయమాధయశ్చ శత్రుద్వయం కలిచ జరాచ నిద్రారిదుర్మని అహం మదశుజో దేహేన జాలస్య హి మేన సంధి జీవన్మృతత్వం మేమేన రాజన్ ఆద్యంతవద్యద్వస్య దృష్టం స్వసామ్య భావో ద్రోమీధేయత్ర తర్హ్యచ్యుదేశౌ విధికృత్య యోగాః విశేష బుద్ధేర్వివరం మనశ్చ పశ్యామయన్న వ్యవహార దోన్యల్ క ఈశ్వరస్తత్ర కిమీషనవ్యం తథాపి రాజన్ కరవామ కిం దే ఉన్మత్తమత్తజ్జడవల్ స్వసంస్థాం గదస్యమే వీరచికిత్సితేన అర్థకీయాన్ భవదాశిక్షితేన స్తబ్ధ ప్రమత్తస్య చ పిష్టవేషాః శ్రీ శుగవాచాం ఏదావదనువాద పరిభాషయా ప్రతివీర్యం మునివర ఉపశమశీలం ఉపరదానాల్పనిమిత్త ఉపభోగేన కర్మారబ్ధం యమనయంగా జయామవి తథోవాహం సచావి పాండవేయం సింధు సౌవీరవదిస్తత్వ జిజ్ఞాసాయాం సమ్యక్ శ్రద్ధయ అధివృత అధికార స్తబ్ద హృదయ గ్రంథిమోజనం దిగవజమాశ్రుత్య బహుయోగ గ్రంథ సమ్మతం త్వరయా వరుహ్య శిరసా పాదమూలమువసృత క్షమాపయన్ విగత నృపదేవస్మయం ఉవాచాం కస్వం నిగూఢశ్చరసి ద్విజానాం విమర్షి సూత్రం కృతమవధూత కస్యాసి కుత్రత్వమిహాపి కస్మాత్ క్షేమాయమశ్చేదసి నూత శుక్లాః నాహం నిషంగేశ్వరరాజవజ్ర నత్రక్షశూలా నయమస్య దండాల్ అగ్న్యర్క సోమానిల విత్తవాస్రాం చంగే మృషం బ్రహ్మకులావమానాల్ తల్బ్రూహ్య సంగో జనమన్ నిగూఢం విజ్ఞాన వీర్యోగజనస్య వాయ వజాంసి యోగగ్రదినాని సాధోత్మన క్షమందే మనసాభివేత్తం అహం జయోగేశ్వరమాత్మనత్వం విదా మునీనాం పరమం గురుం వై ప్రష్టం ప్రవర్తం కిమిహారణం వల్ సాక్షాద్ధరిం జ్ఞాన కళావతూర్ణం స వై భవాం లోక నిరీక్షణార్థం అవ్యక్త లింగో విజరత్యవస్సు యోగేశ్వరాణాం అధిక యోగేశ్వరాణాం గతిం అంధబుద్ధి కథం విచక్షీత గృహానుబంధాః దృష్టశ్రవం ఆత్మకర్మణమాత్మనో వై భర్తుర్గదుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యి యథా సదోదానయాధ్యమావల్ సమూలమిష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గాః స్థాల్యగ్నిదావల్ పయసోభిదావల్ స్తత్తాపదస్తంబిల గర్భరంది దేహేంద్రియాశ్వాశయ సన్నిఘర్షాల్ తల్ సంస్రది పురుషస్యానురోధాల్ శాస్త్రాభిగోప్తం నృపది ప్రజానాం యక్కింగరో వై నపినష్టివిష్టం స్వధర్మం ఆరాధనమచ్యుతస్య యదీహ మానో విజహాత్యఖౌగం తన్నే భవాన్ మరదేవావాభిమానం మదేన వచ్చీగ్ర సప్తమస్య కృషిష్ట మైత్రీ విషమార్థబంధో యథాదరే సదవధ్యానమం హాం నవిక్రియా విశ్వసుహృ సహస్య సామ్యేన వీధాభిమదే స్తవామి మహద్విమానాల్ సుహృదాద్విమాద్రక్ నిక్షాతి దూరాది శూలవాణీ ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవత మహాప్రాణి పంచమ స్కందే దశమోధ్యాయం.
సో I'll stop there, and then we have two more chapters. The 11th chapter where the Brahmana is instructing Rahugana, and Rahugana's answer. Those two chapters, which I'll read next Sunday. So, if there's any questions or comments or anything.
You said that there is a recognition of life after that reincarnation. What evidence can you quote, or what can you see? Because I had a chat over Christmas with my Catholic teacher, and he was totally against what we've currently discussed.
It's a question of one's analysis of life. Like, Srila Prabhupada hammered this into everyone's head, if you remember this point, so strongly in the beginning. That's why you will see any ISKCON devotee, if you ask, they will tell you, what's the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, if you ask, he will say, Dehinostam Yada Dehe. That's where everything begins from, isn't it? Krishna said to Arjuna that unless you understand this, that material body is changing all the time, and that we have to accept that. That's why Krishna says, Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. Three stages in life, I have not changed, body has changed. This one important point is so important in spiritual life. Unless one understands that, because I don't know whoever you have discussed with this, I don't know what their understanding is about this body. If they are seeing this body in terms of DNAs and RNAs and all that thing, then we can't help. But our information is from Vedic literature. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying this, that you are changing, can you not see it? He is asking the question to us. And we, when somebody tells us, we are looking at our own body and how it has changed, it doesn't require any more proof, because you are experienced yourself already. Kaumaram, yavanam, jaram. Childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age. Things have changed. But as I have changed, I haven't changed. It's me inside. Krishna's part and parcel is there. Tada dehandana prapte. Krishna's words are so accurate and prompt in that, that exactly like this has happened to you. Dehandana prapti, when the body you will change, dhirastatra namukhyati, you will change it, and the realized personality or dhiras or courageous persons don't lament on that. That is the very, very beginning. In the second chapter itself, Krishna puts this forward. And I don't know how many times Srila Prabhupada has spoken on this verse all over the world. And because it was necessary, because in our present modern education, what it has taught us is this, to think that I'm this body. And that's where all our so-called knowledges come from. All this modern civilization is coming from that, that I'm this body. And we have, unless we cut through that and understand that I'm not this body, this realization is necessary in spiritual life. Because, and as far as proof is concerned, proof is this, the body is changing. What more proof is required? That I've changed my body. And similarly, Krishna says, when you change the body, eventually you will get another body, arranged by. As I said before, in the Vedic philosophy, these are the two things that differentiates us from everybody else. The law of karma and the law of changing this body, punarjanmam. You don't find this anywhere else. But interestingly enough, what you said is, that this morning I was watching a television program in the, is it Channel 4 or something? Can't remember. So there, in that program, the question was, they were inviting different people to speak about the same point. And you could see that more and more people are willing to understand this, at least think in these terms now, than before. Another 20, 30 years ago, if you have spoken this to Jerry, change the world, just look at you, I think you are going crazy. But today it is not like that. People are changing. And I have seen people who are educated in the Western world, who are thoughtful, they are also started thinking, yes, there is another dimension to life. It's not all finished with this death of this body and everything is over. No, we are part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna says. And this knowledge is, how old is this? It's so old that it is constantly telling us that our spiritual identity is the real identity. Material body has no significance as far as the spiritual life is concerned, except that it's just a vehicle to get out of this condition. That's all. It has come to us. We didn't take it. It has come to us due to our activities in this world.
So that is what they have to understand, the law of karma very nicely, and then they can understand the law of birth. But most of the people don't even accept the law of karma. So it's the question of accepting the rebirth. It's difficult for them. That's education. And if they are open about it and they are willing to discuss this, there is plenty of lectures, Srila Prabhupada's lectures, which they can read and analyze to such a degree to make everyone understand this one particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can tell these things, but sometimes if people may not agree with that's the way the world is, you can't do anything about it. You can only discuss these things. But Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita particularly tells Krishna, Krishna never told Arjuna that you follow my religion or anything. He put it in a very scientific way to him, that you are a spirit soul and you are part and parcel of me. And accordingly, and this is why you are experiencing problems in life. And if you want to free yourself, you have to come out of this bodily concept. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that this bodily concept of life is criticized heavily and condemned heavily. And everyone who is on a bodily concept of life, Vedavyas is calling them some heavy words about that. You know, Shavidvara, Hoshtragare calls about them that hawks, dogs, camels and asses, he says. He's talking about all of us like that, who are talking like this. He said, that is how they see us. We see that, we think that we are educated, but from their point of view, you're not educated even. You're not even educated. So that is the sharpness of that understanding, that those who had cultivated spiritual knowledge and are advanced on the spiritual path, they would not talk like this. They will always talk in terms, they will always talk out of this body. But whereas people who are addicted to their bodily comforts and body identification, it requires time and a lot of energy required to come out of this bodily concept of life. In the Bhagavadam, in the Vyasaskanda, while talking to Arjuna, Krishna says this again and again and again, that this bodily concept of life is very difficult to get rid of. Because once we are in the body, how much attachment we build up to that, nobody has to explain that. Even if it is a useless body, it has got all problems inside, still our attachment don't go away easily. So one has to train to think a little independent of the body also. And that is what makes a spiritually advanced person different from us, because he has moved out of this bodily concept of life. And therefore, majority of this, what we are discussing today, that the things what we think is impossible from our material calculations doesn't work it out in the spiritual side in the same way. Like we say that a certain certain weight, if you apply on your body, it should collapse after time, isn't it? According to the law of physics or law of the strength of materials, it should collapse. But doesn't. Why? Because in a realized soul, he's self-realized already. He's not feeling the pain or pleasure. On the other hand, the looking after that body is Krishna's duty, and all the necessary strength is provided by Krishna's arrangement. Only problem is, you can't expect them to come for a test and to go through your testing procedures and prove it to the world. That's not possible. So that is what the difference is. And in the same way as we were reading Jatabharata's case, that they were feeding him all sorts of garbage to eat, because his brothers, they were not very kind to him, because they were ordinary ignorant people. So they were feeding him uradal, and that too water that is used for washing the uradal. They were sending it to him to eat. They were sending him rice which has got burned while cooking, things like that. And how was he eating? When he was eating, he was eating in full satisfaction. If this is what Krishna wants it, he is eating inside me, let him have it, he said. And as soon as he touched the lips, it was like nectar for him. So that is a change that happens in a realized, self-realized soul. He has that, that is Krishna's special, Krishna's responsibility to look after that devotee. But that will only happen to Jatabharata, not to all of us. It takes a long time for us to go to that stage. But this is the Shastra is saying like that, that is how it works in that way. So Vedic literature is telling us that following this system of understanding, but to hammer this into our head, that the body is not the whole thing, we are not this body, and unless we come out of that, our spiritual life will not progress further. And therefore, it is only for this reason austerities and penances are required why we are asked to do certain things in a certain way. That you practice austerities, you practice some penances in life. Why? So that you don't get attached to the body too much. Because otherwise in your comfort, sometimes we say, oh, you can practice bhakti yoga comfortably at home, sitting in your sofa set and... but it won't bring the same result. Bhakti yoga also requires vairagyam. Renunciation is necessary. And that renunciation, detachment, why did the sages go to the forest? They could have stayed home as well and done that. No, because in the forest, it makes it develop that strength of renunciation, what's required to advance on the spiritual path. That helps that to attachment to the body should go away. And little by little, developing this habit of renunciation and detachment, eventually one becomes identification with the soul, strengthens that stage.
Say seeing things with equal vision, you know, they talk about like the realized person, he sees that everyone's a spirit soul and he sees that Paramatma is within them, so he respects them in that way, so he gives respect to all. That's again taking away from the bodily platform.
Sure, yeah.
It's just
sure. In the yes. How do we get to this point? We talk about all these things. How do we get there? That's the question, isn't it? That's what everyone asks, the same question. How do we get to there? It is for this reason in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find a chapter called Vibhuti Yogam. It is a chapter which is known as the opulence of the Absolute. That chapter, for this reason, is put there. What it is that Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that before you understand me, understand Krishna, the person. He says, what you can see in this world, you try to understand them. What you see with your eyes in this world. So simply seeing them in three different stages, you will come to understand who I am. Krishna says that ultimately you will be able to understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So to understand that every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. It's very difficult in the beginning. You can't see that because at the moment this ignorant concept in our head that we are this body is so strong. It will not go away easily. We will see every individual as separate. And Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita that samadarshina, that is the word Krishna has used. Shunichaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. That samadarshanam, that equal vision, how do we achieve that? And how do we know we have got it? At what stage? People have tested all these things. It's not that it was just Krishna said something and in theory has put it somewhere, it's not practical or anything. No, it's not like that. Then in the Bhagavatam, while referring to this topic, first of all, we have to see, it is difficult to understand, to see Krishna everywhere in all the living entities. So therefore, first we see the major things in this world, great personalities, great souls, or big things. We see Krishna in them first time. For example, Krishna says in Bhagavatam also, it's the same thing, no different than the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, among the sages I am this, among the mountains I am this, among the horses I am this, among the elephants I am this, like this, so many things. And so when you see them, that they have reached that position by serving Krishna, by pleasing Krishna. That is how they got to that position. In every one of them, there is a history behind them before they got to that position. That you can read from the Puranas, how Srinarada Muni came to this position, how the horse Ucheshravas got that position, how the elephant Airavata got that position. Like that, all these great personalities, they got to that position due to some of their service to Krishna at some time in life. That's why Krishna has given them this position. Now, Krishna says, you see them first and see me in them, in these great personalities first. Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Bhagavatam, it's like that. And then, that is the first step of realization. After you have started seeing that, then you start seeing in the other living entities. For example, if you take different living entities in this world, you will see that everybody has something what Krishna has given to them. You can see in every living entity, there is something in him which Krishna has given exclusively to that particular species. For example, if you take tulsi leaves, Just one example, tulsi leaves. Now, without tulsi, you can't make any offering to the deity. Or worshipping Krishna, you require tulsi leaf. That is a special potency given to tulsi by Krishna. Similarly, take about innumerable number of plants, and from these plants, the scientists are extracting their potencies for making the medicines. And all this potency is given to those different plants by Krishna's arrangement. Scientists didn't give it to them. They took it out from them. What it is originally, who put it there? Krishna has put it there. There's so many names you can see, particularly for in relationship with different medicines. How much energy they have spent to extract this potency from these different plants. In big, big laboratories they are doing research. And they find out this potency, or this plant has got this potency to cure this illness in your body. So like this, only that plant has got it, nobody else has got it. So similarly, different plants have got it. So you start seeing Krishna in all the other living entities. And eventually, Krishna says, if you develop this, at some point in time, you will see me in every living entity. This is Krishna's progressive way of seeing this samadarshanam, or equal vision in every living entity. Many years ago, there was a Brahmana who studied Srimad Bhagavatam thoroughly. He studied so well, and he talked about it to many people, and people loved to hear from him because he was so practical person in his spiritual life that he was able to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with anybody. And he had he came from a very, very wealthy family as well. Although a Brahmana, he was from a wealthy family. He didn't require any financial, he didn't have any financial obligations or anything to fulfill. He just enjoyed studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And he took Srimad Bhagavatam so seriously in his life that it has become a great pleasure for him to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with others. So this great personality, this Brahmana, after discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with so many people, he was saying to everybody that this is what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, this is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He kept saying this to everybody. One day he thought to himself, Krishna is saying like this, is this all true? Himself, he wanted to test it out. So what he did was, he said, when can I see Krishna everywhere in every living entity? So what he did was, the way he tested it was, he went into the front of the deity and he paid his obeisances to Krishna there. So normally, it's not like our way of paying obeisances. When they pray obeisances, the Brahmanas, they pay obeisances in such a consciousness that they derive a tremendous bliss or happiness from that, or anubhuti, as it is called. It's called in Sanskrit as anubhuti. Anubhuti means the pleasure they get from paying obeisances to Krishna. I don't know how much of us, how much pleasure we get. We struggle to fall, we struggle to get up. That's our bliss we derive from that. For devotees who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam and who have learned how to pay obeisances to Krishna, they pay in a different way. They have a different understanding. While touching the head on the floor, they are thinking their head is touching Krishna's lotus feet. That is the kind of attachment they have. So when he paid his obeisances to Krishna, he felt an extremely great bliss in his heart. A happiness came to him after paying his obeisances. And then he thought, if I am seeing Krishna everywhere, should I not feel the same bliss by paying my obeisances to them? So when he came out to the temple, the elephant which belonged to the temple was standing outside. He went up to the elephant, fell down in front of the elephant and said, Hasti Rubini Vadale Shayanama. That paying exactly the same mantra what he said, Krishna, who is standing in front of me in the form of this elephant, let me pay my obeisances, he said. He paid his obeisances. Then he got up. Then he went, he saw a dog walking through. He paid the obeisances to the dog and said to the dog, Shwana Rubini Vadale Shayanama, who is standing Krishna in front of me in the form of this dog, let me pay my obeisances to him. He paid his obeisances to the dog. Now the ordinary people, when they see all these things, has gone a bit off. That's what they think. But he talked about it later, that when he paid his obeisances to Krishna, and when he paid his obeisances to the elephant, and when he paid his obeisances to the dog, he felt exactly the same happiness what he felt when he paid his obeisances to Krishna. In other words, a stage comes in life that due to realization one starts seeing, and that will happen. One cannot stop it also. It is a progressive thing that this realization will come when one cultivates spiritual life, that other living entities. Otherwise, we will fight each other. He is my friend, he is my enemy, I will kill him, I will save him. All these things will go on as it's going on in this world today. This is ignorance, this is coming from ignorance. But this is knowledge. That seeing, it is Krishna's part and parcel. Krishna's words are very, very sharp and firm on this. Manayiva amsha ajiva logi. All jiva logam, every living entity is part and parcel of me. Krishna says, jiva bodha sanadana, they are eternal as well. And this realization will come to realize to souls. And then once this stage comes, then they don't stay here anymore, they leave. So that is the process in which you get to that stage. And Krishna explains that to Uddhava, how this is achieved in the 11th canto. Okay, we'll stop there. I'll go with